Psalm 43. As well, let's hear the word of God. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you. From the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone before me. By day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries and taunts say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil? Within me, hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me, for you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Let's pray. Father, we ask now for your help, the light of your Spirit. As we sit under your word for these minutes, Father, may its truth penetrate to the depths of our souls, and may we find in its provision that we've been brought to you, one for whom we long, one for whom we pant, to you, our exceeding joy. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to see you all this morning, making the best of different circumstances. It's good to see some of you bringing your whole patio sets here, and yeah, good job, camp. Like it. But this time has been strange for us in some ways, and it's been challenging for many of us in a number of ways. I can say from experience it's been challenging to me as a Christian, the interruptions to the rhythms of our life as a body. It's been challenging for me as a pastor, the interruptions to the way in which we do our ministry in a normal routine, a normal cycle, and the normal relationships and all of that. There's been interruption, and it's been very hard for some of us. And that's just one touch point, one way in which discouragements, even depression and turmoil, can come into our lives, into our hearts, into our souls, Christian, every believer longs for increasing, deep, real, genuine communion with God, the living God. Every Christian longs to be satisfied in God Himself, in the living God, in the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, existing from all eternity in three persons, perfect in love and fellowship and harmony and holiness and majesty and sovereignty and glory and power and mercy and grace and wrath. The true living God. But the reality is for us as believers that we do not experience a steady satisfaction in who God is for us in Christ. We don't experience a steady satisfaction of the longings of our hearts in God. There's interruptions. There's ups and downs. There's external circumstances that encroach upon that experience, and they are as diverse as the number of people here. We want to look in this psalm at a few of the specifics that bring about this experience for this individual in this psalm. I think we'll see a lot of our experience in part there as well. We see that this discouragement, even this depression, this turmoil can be brought about by an interruption in our worship, an interruption in our communion with God. Think of the first question the psalmist asks, when shall I come and appear before my God? The psalmist has been separated, likely exiled from the land that God had given His people, far distant from the temple where God had promised His presence to be specifically manifested, far distant from the normal patterns and cycles of the worship of God's people. This was a challenging experience for this individual. He longed again to be there where God was worshipped in the congregation. He longed to be then there where God had promised His presence in a specific and special way. This interruption in worship and communion with God was exceedingly painful. Think about what the psalmist says here. My tears have been my food day and night. And to top it all off, in the midst of this, in this circumstance, you have these ungodly people surrounding the individual and taunting him day in and day out. Where is your God? Look at the circumstance you find yourself in. Pitiable, abandoned, forsaken. Where is He? This is painful, challenging circumstance. And in the New Covenant, we aren't in the same situation. God has not promised now His presence specifically to a particular place, a particular geographical location. And yet, our worship has a very real corporate dimension to it. And every one of us, I think, here this morning can testify to the ways in which our spiritual life has been interrupted by the interruptions that have been brought to our corporate worship. Had some experience of this over the past months. Some of you have experienced intense dryness spiritually. You have these longings and you have this lack of satisfaction, thirsts that are not satisfied. There's things that have come in to affect it. We see the psalmist and us can be brought into these times of depression, discouragement, despair, and turmoil by a decline in our experiential walking in communion with God. And that can come through so many different different means, but we have times where our experience of communion with God is diminished. And consider what the psalmist says here. He looks back. Verse 4, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. The psalmist looks back on a time when his experience of the communion with God, of the presence of God, of the corporate praise of God was different. It was better. It was good. And his experience now is different. He doesn't have any of that. And we have those times in our life. They come in many different ways. Maybe it's in your prayer life. And where at one time, prayer flowed freely. It was like breathing to you. It felt like your prayers ascended on wings of 1,000 angels up to the throne of God. Jesus in his substitutionary atoning work, in his perfect intercession on your behalf, the risen and reigning Lord ever before your eyes, and you came boldly to the throne of grace, and it felt so natural, and it felt so free, and now you can hardly utter a word to the Lord, and it feels like there's 3 miles of granite above your head. It just goes nowhere. Your experience of communion with God has declined. Lies there in jail and Joseph understands and testifies to the meticulous providence of God, the absolute sovereignty of God over it all. What you intended, he says to the brothers, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. You think Joseph just had a steady state smile experience through all of those things because that was true? No. What's going on? What are you doing, God? Why is this happening? What's pity party, and you're not invited if you're going to try to challenge my pity party. ourselves constantly. This is how we work as human beings. There's just things that are going on in our minds. We're thinking thoughts, we're feeling feelings, and we can just coast along listening to them, and on their own, they will not be helpful to us. They join in the pile, in the despair. Yeah, you should have more questions. Why is this happening to us? It's probably because of that one sin that you did back there. It's probably because you really are pretty bad at everything. It's probably because you're so far outside of hope that this is really all you can expect in life. It's probably because you should have done this or that or the other thing. It's probably because, you know, if maybe your life had been different as a young child, maybe your life had been different as a young adult, maybe your life had been different in the early years of marriage. Maybe then things could be different, but because they weren't, here I am, and this is all there is, and this is all there ever is going to be. These are the kinds of things, the kinds of thoughts that we listen to in our own minds. We don't verbalize them out loud, but they're there, and they come. And we must stop listening to ourselves and start preaching to ourselves. You notice what the psalmist is experiencing. Very deep pain, longings after God that are not being satisfied, that are not being fulfilled, a thirst that is not quenched. He pours out his heart to God, and then he takes up God's side, and he preaches to himself. And he says there, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" He's not asking himself this question so he can rehearse all those painful, difficult, bad things again. Now he's turned a corner in the question. In light of what? In light of God, why? Why are you cast down? Why are you in turmoil? You need to start talking to yourself, to start preaching to yourself. And look at the first thing he says to himself: hope in God. Satisfaction. That's his experience. He pants after God. So, hope in God, the living God, the true God. Notice that it's not the what questions, the why questions, the when questions. Those questions aren't getting the psalmist anywhere. It's the That's what we need to preach to ourselves in the midst of our discouragements, in the midst of our despair, in the midst of our depression that we sometimes experience as believers. We need to preach to ourselves the who, hope in God, the living God, who is gracious and compassionate, abounding in steadfast love and mercy. There is no such thing as no hope and no future for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is always deliverance for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ waiting. Always. Always. It is as sure as the Christ who went to the cross. It is as sure as he laid in the tomb for 3 days. It's as sure as he rose from the dead on the third day. It's as sure as he ascended to the right hand of the Father that he is now reigning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It's as sure as he intercedes, as he pleads his precious blood for every blood-bought sheep of Thomas does right next. He says, my salvation and my God. When you're preaching to yourself, you need to tell yourself to hope in God. Those feelings, those thoughts, all of your experience right now is lying to you. It is telling you all kinds of false things. You need to grip yourself in the power of the Spirit by the Word of God and say, hope in God. This is who He is. I will again praise Him. My salvation. It's personal. My God. It's personal. The who does not change in your circumstance. You can be in exile way far away in Babylon. You can be experiencing the deepest and hardest trials that your life has ever had thus far, the hardest sufferings, the most difficult times. Remains true. My salvation and my God. You need to argue yourself into hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is how the scriptures work. Just think of Paul's words, for if God is for us, who can be against us? If he did not spare his own son, but graciously gave him up for us all, how will he not with him graciously give us all things? All things. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. My salvation and my God. Preach to yourself. Stop listening to yourself. Jesus Christ on the cross, Christ crucified, the perfect sacrifice for your sins, the perfect atonement, the only atonement for your sins. Christ raised to life on the third day, the only hope for you to be justified in the sight of God, the only hope for you to be made alive by His Spirit, the only hope for you to walk in the power of the Spirit, the only hope for you to spend eternity with Him resurrected yourself. For I will again praise Him. If this despair, if this circumstance, if this trial brings me all the way into death itself, down into the grave, I will again praise Him, because He will raise me right up out of that grave on the last day to live with Him in perfect joy and communion and fellowship and harmony and delight for all of eternity without fail. Without fail. So we started with the longing, the panting, the desire. That's not just for believers. That's the experience of every human being, not in that way, but in a real way. Saying about Augustine that God made us for Himself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Him. If you're here this morning as an unbeliever, you are restless. And it's not just that you're looking for God and not finding Him. There's a God-shaped hole in your soul, and you're trying to fill it with idols. Jeremiah puts it this way. He says that the heinousness of it is that the fountain of living water is there, provided for you. It's offered to you in God Himself, and you've gone and dug cracked cisterns. You're drinking muddy, filthy water instead. The solution, the answer, is to come to God in Jesus Christ, to bow before Jesus, to hope in Him. Listen to the words of Jesus Himself in Revelation chapter 22. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Christ, why are you downcast in my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Let's turn now to that same hope held up for us in this ordinance given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This morning, are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've turned from your sins, and you've trusted in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Your only hope in life and in death. And this meal is for you this morning, if you're here with us. That is not the case for you. The meal is not for you. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.